Hi there, this is Jacob Msipa, the senior pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last week, we were dealing with the subject, the edge of the sword, under the theme, which is really a two-part series, The Builder's Edge. Amen. Today, we'll be focusing on the subject, regaining your edge. Regaining your edge. And for some reason, I decided to put that dangerous weapon there. Last week, it was a sword. And today, it is an axe, a very dangerous-looking weapon. I don't know why did I decide to put that, but it looks, you know, like something that the devil will run away from. Amen. So I decided to put that just there, just to get him shaking in his boots. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to read again the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 10. We are going to take verse number 10, and then we are going to jump to 2 Kings, chapter number 6. But Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10 says, if the axe is dull, and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. In the King James Version, it says, if the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. Don't think this is wrong English. It's King James English. And then it says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Listen to the Message translation. This fascinated me. The Message translation says, remember, the duller the axe, the harder the work. Use your head, it says. The more brains, the less muscle. My God. Use your head. The more brains, the less muscle. Let's jump to 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 1. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see now the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. I don't know who is experiencing a limited place and space. Maybe you are living in a small house. You are working a small job. You are earning a small salary. Your space is just too small. This word is for you today. Amen. And in verse number 2, the Bible says, please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, go. The one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. Of course, that they can build for themselves a place that is suitable and sufficient for them. Okay? If we may read it in this fashion, let's reverse a bit. And I'm going to recreate this scripture in my own way, okay? And put it in this way and say, see now, this experience of 2019 was just too small and too limited for me. Please let us go to 2020, and let's just make there a place where we may dwell. Say this to your neighbor, I'm creating some space for me in 2020. Our Miss Universe said we must occupy some space, right? She said we must occupy some space and cement ourselves. And so tell your neighbor and say, I'm just occupying some space already in 2020. I'm cementing myself. Already there's a place for me. Amen. There's a place for me where I'm going. Amen. Verse number 5. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Say these words after me and say, I am standing on the edge of 2019. I will not my edge go dull. And I will not lose it, for I will need it for 2020. Last week, we defined the edge as the sharpened side of the blade of a cutting implement or an axe or a weapon. And we said, you and I, as God's children, we need this sharp edge for the battle. The battle either that is against us or for us. We overcome the enemy with the edge of the sword of the word of God. Because year in and year out, we are faced with challenges. We are faced with battles. The enemy comes to make things difficult for us. But we have been given, the Bible says, the full armor of God that you and I are supposed to put on so that we can be able to withstand in the evil day. And the Bible says, after having done all, to stand. Amen. And specifically, it says we need to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We need to use the word of God to withstand every form of adversity that the enemy is throwing our way. But we also emphasized the fact that sometimes the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is the instigator of persecution in our lives. Sometimes it's not always the enemy, Satan, who is our enemy. Sometimes even God himself comes to challenge us through his word. The Bible says the word of God is alive. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Are we together? It is able to pierce through our hearts. It is able to separate the soul from the spirit. Are we here, Bazalwan? And the word of God comes to fight against complacency in our lives. The word of God comes to fight against carnality in our lives. Amen. And this is the reason why we need to sometimes embrace it in our lives, so that it can build us up and so that it can shape us and mold us for what God wants to do in our lives. Sometimes the battles that we face are good for us. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse number 71, he says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Amen. It's not every affliction that is from the devil. Some of the afflictions are good for us. And he says that I may learn your statutes. So some of the afflictions they come in our lives to teach us a thing or two. Some of us, we were no longer thinking at a certain level, but it was because of the word of God that we started to think at a certain level. It was because of the challenges and the circumstances that we came across that we had to reconsider certain things. Amen. We had to make some decisions, and it was good for some of us that your friends persecuted you because you had to catch a wake-up call. You had to wake up and smell the coffee, that it is not everyone who is around you who is for you. Sometimes we just needed to be afflicted a bit just so that we can realize that people we hang around are not good for us. Are we together? But today we are going to also focus on the figurative meaning of the word edge, which is an intense, sharp, or striking quality. If I was Saudi, I was going to say, your edge is nothing in your life. It is nothing. That thing that sets you apart. That thing, that quality that God bestows upon your life just so that you can become a better person, just so that you can be gifted, just so that you can do things at a certain level. Are we together, Bazalwan? It is a quality or factor which gives you superiority over close rivals. You might be amongst people of your age, your peers, people with the same educational background, but there's an edge that God gives you just so that you can stand out, just so that you can be better, just so that you can be the best that you can be. Are we together? And that edge can be the wisdom of God that he gives to you, so that when you do things, you don't do them in an ordinary way. It is the kind of wisdom that the Bible says it is through wisdom that we can build, so that God will give you that wisdom, that edge, that sharp edge, so that you can build your life, so that you can build your family, so that you can build your calling, your career, your business, that is. Are we here, Bazalwan? This is when God gives you the kind of wisdom that only he can give, not the wisdom of men according to the scriptures, because the scriptures draw a clear distinction between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. The Bible says the wisdom of this world, the Bible says it is sensual, it is demonic. Are we here, Bazalwan? It is earthly. Amen. This is the kind of wisdom that man teaches, that another man can teach you. But God wants to give you the kind of wisdom that you will give you an edge and a special quality, so that when you build, you are building differently. So that when you are running a business, you are going to run it differently. So that when you are building your marriage, you are going to build it differently. Why? Because God has given you that edge, that you are a cutting edge builder, if you may. You are one of a kind. You are special in a manner that you do things and in a manner that you conduct yourself. Are we together, Bazalwan? Because we have been given the word of God, of which the Bible says it is the wisdom of God. The word of God is the wisdom of God. So whenever God gives us his word, whenever we study the word of God, it is so that God can impart his wisdom in us. So when we know the word of God, we become acquainted with how God does things and how God thinks. Amen. So when you are ignoring the word of God in your life, in other words, you are actually taking out the God factor in your life. You are saying to God, God, I will use my own strength and power to achieve the things that I want to achieve. But when you engage the word of God, you are engaging the wisdom of God in your life, of which the Bible says it is the wisdom that is pure. It is the wisdom that is from above. The wisdom that is without hypocrisy. That is what the Bible says. And Jesus puts it this way. He says, each and every person who hears his word and does it in his life, he says he is like a man who through wisdom, right? He is like a wise man who digs deep on the ground and begins to lay a strong and a solid foundation and builds upon that foundation, so that when the storms come, whatever that person is building, it is going to withstand the storms. Amen. But if you ignore the word of God in your life, the Bible says you are like that foolish builder who builds upon a sand. And when these storms of life come, whatever it is that you are building is going to suffer destruction. Are we together, Bazalwan? So that's why then God is committed to imparting or to giving us this wisdom that is from his word. And I love it because the Bible tells us that if we lack wisdom, there's only one thing that you and I are supposed to do. It is just to simply ask God. And the Bible says he will give it to us. So he will open up our eyes so that when we read scriptures, they become alive and they become relevant to our situations and circumstances. And God will give us wisdom that we can apply in every area of our life. Believe you me, whatever it is that you are doing in your life, God has a word for it. God has wisdom for it from his word. Amen. And he wants to reveal it to you so that you can use it in your life and build effectively. Otherwise, if we neglect or ignore the word of God, it will be like what the scriptures are saying, that we will have to use more strength. And like we said last week, the Bible says, by our own strength, we shall not prevail. There's nothing that you and I can do effectively or fruitfully if we are only going to depend on our own strength. So God then wants to give us this wisdom through his word especially. It is through his word. And if he gives us this wisdom, it is like he is sharpening our axe. He is sharpening our sword so that we can build under the influence of his anointing, under the influence of his power, and build effectively. Are we here, Bazalwan? So it's very important that we understand that we need the wisdom of God. You and I need the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of this world. It's good. The wisdom of this world is fine. It can teach us a thing or two, but it is not sufficient. Because there are people who are wise. When we look at them and the things that they do, we can safely say they are wise, right? Even though the things that they are doing, you can tell good lentils on Fagangozin, but you can see that, yeah, you're going to clan a panyana corn. You see, Umundu, Uhambayo, Ayobambi heist. Utlan Patan Pidelumund. It's just that Utlan Pawaki, a little pipe is demonic wisdom. Okay, so God wants to give you pure and divine wisdom. The kind of wisdom that will give you divine ideas of how can you be better in life. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sure many of us, we've experienced friends who think they are wise. You know, amongst our groups, you know, you just have that one friend. Ocabanguti was yonkinto. The first one to talk. Nalanga fanelanga kulume kona. Even in the presence of greatness, no lomgano funu kulume. Njalo nendo we are sabu kutagaz. And we go zigum don jalo because this person is not a learner. Because wisdom is not always seen in what you say, but it is also seen in the kind of questions you ask. So sometimes you just need to give yourself time and space to ask relevant questions. And sometimes, you know, just be quiet. Sometimes it's just wise for you to lulalele. Ukutabanya abantu bathini? Ekungenzeka ukuthi bazi kangcono kunawe. Hey, Martine, elokishini sikhule nekhokho mfana. Yeah, people who will hit you with theories. Theories like akhalele phansi umuntu ngendere ngekho. In the robot, I would a young shy. I was an uncommon in Ankule. You are born again. You are Christians. You are spirit filled. You've never, hey, Mina Nazabo shy.
akushaya umuntu emini ilanga likhanya voluntarily. Uyamazi umuntu okhuluma manga angana pressure yokuthi akhuluma manga.
You know sometimes it's understandable when you are cornered, you know, you are caught in a compromising situation where you are going to be confronted with questions and you have no choice but to cook up something that you will have to say to answer for yourself. Hey, but kunalezi ingwenya. Ezikhuluma kungonakalanga lutho. Look, you were not even asked a question.
Hayi uyizwe ingwenya ethi
ngiyakutshela mfana. Ebona le transi le. Yase Germany mfana le transi le kusho ukuthi manje lama German umuntu manga akushaya umuntu ngento engekho uthi mara nkosi yami uzibe usakhulumelani usakhulume. You know the Bible says in the scriptures of Proverbs in the multitude of words sin abounds. Ukhuluma uzone. Now, sometimes you are safe being quiet. Konuma mkulu wami bekathanda ukuthi kawuthule. Kawuthule. Just be quiet. Just give other people a chance to say something. You might learn a thing or two. Kawuthule.
Yazazingwenya yabona mangakunikeza i-biblical example lezi. Yabona uPeter. eBhayibhelini uJesu ashilo ukuthi nizongiphika kunokuthi yamkele lenceke ukuthi no yazi set up ubani mina ngeke Jesu mina kula uyofa khona yofana. Look, this guy was not under pressure. Jesus was not saying Peter now uzongijikela. He was not even saying that. He was just saying nonke nizongijikela. Hayi lengwenya iyakhuluma. Go to like Jesus says, I'm going to die, and then Peter says, no, you
Jesus had to say to him, get deep behind me, Satan. What's what is? Yes, umuntu wabanjelwa kai one. Ngobu Jesus wathi, who do people say that I am, right? And Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the Living God. Jesus, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. In other words, Peter, you are not that smart. This is the wisdom of God speaking. No, ubona ngathi ngishayile lapho le exam ngishayile. Yazi because ubanjelwe ku science, manje so ucabanga ukuthi hey na ku maths, na ku pikupi, na ku accounting. Amen. So we need the wisdom of God in our lives. Just so that we can learn a thing. The wisdom that is from above. The wisdom that is pure. Amen. I need to be very quick. Amen. Because now, we need to now understand because this axe or this sharp edge is what brings that wisdom factor in our lives. But sometimes it becomes dull, as we have also established last weekend. And even worse, we sometimes lose it. Are we here? The more you apply the wisdom of God, the more you need to sharpen it. How many of you know that even emakhaya, the knife becomes dull, not because it's a bad knife, but as a result of using it quite often. And this is a very powerful spiritual principle, Bazalwane, and for us to understand that the more you preach, the more you release anointing, the more you minister in song, the more you walk with God, the more you apply biblical principle, it is the more you need to sharpen your edge over and over again. Because it's not that it's bad what you have, but there's always a need for you to sharpen it, because even the knives, they become dull by reason of using them. Konu mese, onga utembe kaya, ema kaya ma ukula. Unga ati, unga kava nguti, so mzara na mkaya. Bo utaba na, bambi sumlenze la putu. Kona lo ya mese, ebe kutu makpume wana.
Utima uti kai one.
Kutiwa kutiwa kalu munu munga be munu kalu kulu yong. Mukwa lo kalu uza kundu munu loyo.
But over the years, ngelilang utu ya ukipa utma uti. Ube mundu.
Baze bacha wanda wata alabate mundu, mamukwa lo mundu. Buzu makelo na kanto mfundi siwa sasa ndeveni.
So sometimes we lose the edge of our ex becomes dull, not because it's bad, but because that's how it is. That's how it's supposed to be. Even worse, it happens that you can lose it.
Lapho ke umalume uphume kudla umkhwami loya uphi? Umkhwami loya u Yong umkhwalo yawukho awukho umkhopu gali njengaloya. Ya, and ngiyabona uthi amarlo awuqalile mhlanoka. Mas mhlanoka nakho man si ngomberako loya kamntamama. Ya, yong awukhipha yong hey umkhwam loya wenza ezinye izinto ezikarisako. Ngambona uthi amare ngiqala ukuthi indlela ngiqale ngayo leya. Ufuna umkhwamu khona manje umkhwamu lo awusekho.
Tell your neighbor and say it's normal. Sometimes you might lose your edge. Especially if you take your edge for granted. Especially if you think you have this edge because you have to. And you no longer realize that this is the wisdom of God that is precious and special and valuable that you are supposed to, you know, sharpen over and over and over again so that you don't lose it. Because it's dangerous to rely on yesterday's anointing. Just because it happened yesterday does not mean it will happen today. Just because it happened last week, it does not mean it has to happen today. You've got to sharpen your edge. That's why we have to pray. That's why we have to fast. That's why we have to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we can keep the edge of our axe sharpened.
Otherwise, uzaba mundu ngumundu.
But what is it that makes our edge to be dull? Two dangerous things that will cause our edge to be dull. Number one, familiarity. Once we become too familiar with the word of God, that causes the edge of our ex or the edge of our soul or of our sword to be dull. When the word of God is no longer piercing our hearts the way that it's supposed to. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful. Listen to that. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But sometimes it happens that when we become too familiar with the word of God, that we will no longer allow it to pierce through our souls. That we love it when it enhances our knowledge or enhances our mind. But we don't allow the word of God to penetrate our soul and deal even with our emotions, our desires, our aspirations. And that is the danger of becoming familiar with the word of God. Where we even do what the Bible calls searing the conscience. Unembeza ausa nyagazi at the reading of God's word. The word of God becomes something that you read just so that you can be informed as a Christian. But you are no longer allowing the word of God to build you. in your soul, to build you in your mind, in the manner that you think, to build you emotionally, to build you in as far as your aspirations are concerned. We are no longer sensitive. When we come to church, we are hearing the word of God. It's like just another sermon, just another message. Because we are now used to the culture of coming to church over and over again. We can almost predict, even when a certain scripture is opened, that this is perhaps what Mfundisi is going to say. Not understanding that sometimes even revisiting the same word, it happens with me all the time, that I can read the same word that I have read 10 times before, but it can say something fresh and something new to me and challenge me in a new way. And even worse, when we are becoming familiar with the word of God, we are no longer even applying it in our lives. We are just using it, as I said, for head knowledge. Just so that we can know it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And some of us are like that. Yes, we are reading the scriptures. Yes, we are reading the Bible. But why are we reading it? Just so that we can know more verses. And that is not what the purpose of the scriptures are. We are slowly becoming theologians instead of becoming sons and daughters of God, who are going to be led by the Spirit of God through the word that he reveals to us. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word of God is supposed to teach us something. It is supposed to develop our minds. It is supposed to build us up. It is supposed to shape the way that we think. That is the purpose of the word of God in our life. It is supposed to correct us. That is the purpose of the word of God. Not so much so that we can just know the scriptures. Many of us, the only time we will interact with the word of God, it is when we have been given the opportunity to say something yes or no. Otherwise, we would not ordinarily interact with the word of God. Some of us, we read the word of God just so that we can participate in iconic groups. So that I can have something nice and something powerful to say. You see, when we started preaching, Vido, church services used to become the battles of the scriptures or the battles of how deep you are. We were reading the word not so that we can grow by it, because remember the Bible says, it talks about the milk of the word that we need to grow by. So reading the word is supposed to challenge you to grow. Not so much so that you can be the best person who knows the Bible from cover to cover. I'm not against reading the Bible from cover to cover, right? But make sure that when you read it, your heart is opened. Because it has to pierce through your soul and begin to change you, because it will not help you that you know all the books of the Bible off by head. I can recite Psalm 23 off by head. We've been doing that from school. How many of us we've been quoting or reciting Psalm 23, the Lord's Prayer? We were saying the Lord's Prayer, but not praying. And we used to come, and our messages were about, wow, we were Bible expositors. But we were not changing. But we were not growing. That's why kuthiwa abanye abantu ngathi ungafisa ukuthi ungabafasela lapha ku pulpit mangasuki. Because this person is nice when they are preaching. But when you are supposed to walk the message. Because at some point the messenger needs to become the message. That's why the Bible says we are the epistles of Christ. Not written with ink, but by the Spirit of God. Not because of the scriptures. Do you know that there are people who love quoting, "There is no weapon formed against me that shall prosper." They've never read it. They just heard somebody else say it. That's how familiar we become with the word. Who are one? There is no weapon. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. How sure are you that the devil is a liar?
Where did you see that? There's no weapon formed against. Where is that in the Bible? We hear you, you are saying it. But where is it? So we need to get to that point where we are allowing the word of God that is full of life to challenge us for growth, to challenge us to renew the way that we think, to renew our minds so that we can be transformed. Look, unless there's transformation in your life, then the word of God is not at work. The only way we can see that the word of God is at work in your life, it is when you are, because the word of God is meant to reprogram your mind and cause you to think differently. So it cannot be that I've been a Christian for 20 years, but I still think in the same way I used to think 20 years ago. I'm still full of it, the way that I was 20 years ago. It cannot be. And the second dangerous thing that causes the edge of your ex to be dull, I'm left with only 9 minutes, is tradition. Mark 7 verse 13, making the word of God of no effect. Listen, it's the very same word that we read in Hebrews 4 verse 12 that says, the word of God is alive and the word of God is powerful. That is what the Bible says. But it is the same word that Jesus here says, we are making that word to be of no effect. We make it not, we cause it not to work in our lives. Why? He says, through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. In other words, there are ideologies. There are teachings. There are lessons that we hold in high esteem than the word of God. Yeah, I know you are born again, tongue-talking, spirit-filled, church-going. You are holy as they come. But some, let's agree, some of you, you have some things somewhere at the back of your mind that you are still convinced that they are true, more than the word of God. Yeah. Khona baningi kuze kube inamhlanje abalicela itswaye ebusuku. Talk to me. Khona baningi abanga faka amanzi endlini ebusuku. Hayi, khuluma nani. Khona bangasika amaziphi ebusuku. That's how powerful. You see, this is what Jesus is talking about when he says, your tradition are causing the word to be of no effect. Hayi, khuluma nani. Khona baningi manishada nabona mafu athi na pepe isicathulo. Khuluma. Talk to me. Talk to me. Yeah. And yet you are not tithing. You are more convinced of these superstitions than what the Bible says. Ay, cool man numbers, Alan. Talk to me. Huh? It's like you when it comes to these things, it's like when God says you are blessed, right? The Bible says that you are blessed. Coming in, blessed going out. You are blessed in the field. You are blessed in the city, right? When the Bible says to you, what God has blessed, no man can curse. Bese mawufika ekhaya, wala ukwenza lento ephikisana nezwi. Bese bathi kini, ngokwesiko, izinto angeke zikhambele kuhle, mawungenza into le. Ukholwe ileyo nto, than iBhayibheli elithi you are blessed. What a shock. So Jesus says you are making the word to be of no effect. You are making the axe that is supposed to help you chop down some things in your life, you are making it dull. Why? Because you believe more in the tradition than the word.
But we have to be free from these things so that we can be fully devoted to the word of God and take it for what it is. Because the Bible, Bazalwane, tells us clearly that this thing called the word of God, it is powerful. And we are equal, Leon. Mara uza esontweni uthi ngifundise sifuna isibusiso siyoshada. Which one do you believe in between the two? Futhi mangakuchazela ukuthi wayekufuneka igazi nje emshadweni wakho. You can walk out of this place running. Mangak explain ukuthi why kufanele kuhlatshwe. And many of us, we are so obsessed in such a way that the word of God has no place in our hearts and in our minds. Occupied by this, the way that we think, even though we are speaking in tongues, but the way that we think. Look, the Bible says use your head. That's what it says in the Message version. We speak in tongues, but we don't use our head. We open doors to demons. We open doors to demons that are making us not to sleep at night. You will sweat. less brains, more muscle. You will sweat fighting demons because you have given them a foothold in your life through believing in tradition. And it's not every tradition that is bad. That is not what I'm saying. There are other things that traditions will teach us which are in line with the word of God. But I'm talking about those that are contrary to the word of God. Yes. And even us as religious people, Christians, we have our own traditions, by the way. That's true. That are not biblical. It's a tradition. There are many things that we teach which are not the word. They are tradition. They are tradition. Look, they are tradition. It's not weight. It's tradition. And we must stop thinking that if other people are not thinking the way that we think, they are sinners, and we are going to judge them according to our own religious, traditional mindset. There are many things that has got nothing to do with Israel. Is crucial of the kingdom, the biblical, the Christian foundational truths. They are nowhere to be found. Bese ngiyakubuza ukuthi kulotshwe phi? Kubhalwe phi? Ngokuphi la ezwini likaNkulunkulu la kusho njalo khona? Noma into owayitshelwa nje. Hayi. Nalo mavesi sokhotha siwafundi sizomunye athi. Hayi lethi iBhayibheli singaluki singafaka amaci kusho ubani awungivezele lelo verse awulikhiphi. Let's talk. Hayi lethi iBhayibheli akufanelanga abantu besifazane fanele bathwale kusho ubani awungivezele lona la iBhayibhelini. Ungayike kuCorinthians 11 ngoba sizoyiqeda ngeverse lokugcina nje la uPaul athi uma ngabe abantu belwa ngalento asina siko ngayo. Why singafiki kulelo verse? Hayi, abantu besifazana kufayelanga abashumayele esontweni. Kusho bani? Who said that? Who said women can't preach at church? That is not the Bible I'm reading. That's not the Bible I'm reading. This is not the one. We have nathi singaxheka abantu bangaphandle ngamasiko wabo nani nathi sinawethu ekufanele sizihlole sizihlolisise siloko sikhuluma ngelimi nje.
Let's close. But how do I regain my edge? Number one, realize that you are not the source of this wisdom or this edge that you have. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Kings 6 verse 5. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he, listen, it did not fall to any other place. It fell into the water, right? And he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." The wisdom that you operate in, you are not the source of it. The anointing that you operate in, you are not the source of it. Whatever it is that you are able to do today, it is by the grace of God. You are not the source. It is borrowed. And if you have lost it, guess what? You are going to find it in the waters. You are going to find it in the waters from where it came, actually, from the well of wisdom, who is Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. So, maugauli zinto zigauleka, and you are all of a sudden building your life and zinto zenzeka. Don't forget, you are not the source. One day, this axe is going to become dull. And if you have forgotten who the source is, nyabazi mina abantu ababe vuta kalo la glendlela. Ba vuta ngoba unkulunkulu ngomusa wakhe. Yeah, bekathulula izinto phezulu. Bakhohlwa ukuthi they are not the source. Atu Davide, once you have spoken and twice I have heard, that power belongs to God. Mina ngiyabazi abo sister nabo brother bebathi bashaye chorus balishaye lizwakale lehle kwehlinto endlini. Bakhohlwa ukuthi they are not sufficient of themselves. So if you want to regain your edge, realize that you are not the source. Number two, remember where you have fallen. 2 Kings 6 verse 6 says, so the man of God said, after this one cried, right? And said, the axe is gone. The man of God asked him and said, where did it fall? Look at this. He did not say, I don't know. He said, he showed him the place. Because let's be honest, all of us, we know exactly where things went wrong. Let us not be like those when we are confronted with certain questions, you pretend as if you don't know. You know, I sit down with many people and I give counseling to many people who are faced with different challenges. And from now and then, I hear people saying, "Angazi kwenzakaleni." You know exactly. You know what went wrong. You did what you knew you were not supposed to do. And now ube honest. And now when people say, and guess what? Here's the pressure of being a pastor. When this person says, "I don't know," they are expecting me to know. And they are hoping that I will not point out. They don't want to say it. They indirectly want me to say it, but they hope I will not say that place labas corner uguti iwelapa. You know uguti wepi. So show me when I come and I say, "Hey, mfundisi nginenkinga yazi angisamuzi uNkulunkulu." When I ask, where did things go wrong? Point me to the right direction so that I can help you bring back the ex. But if you say you don't know, nama you don't know. Nama I'm looking after my own ex. It is my one that I can point you to. Revelations 2 verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works." That is what the Bible says. It says, "Kumbula la uwekhona." Don't pretend you don't know. Remember where things went wrong. Remember and repent. Change your mind. Lela khahlamba lakho uyabona likufake ephi manje. Aka uliyeke lela khahlamba, uyekeleza ingqondo. Come back to your senses. Come back to the scriptures. Come back to the word. Which brings me to the next third thing that you are supposed to do. Take back your edge. Because you know what is where it has fallen. Take it back. It's your own responsibility.
The Lord will show you the edge, but he will not take it up for you. 2 Kings 6 verse 7 says, therefore he said, pick it up for yourself. You are the one. You know where you went wrong. You know you are no longer praying the way that you are supposed to be praying. You know you are no longer reading the word the way that you are supposed to read the word. You know you are no longer giving the way that you are supposed to be giving. You know you are no longer devoted to Christ the way that you are supposed to be devoted to Christ. You know where things went wrong. So take back your edge. Go back to prayer. Go back to that altar. Go back to the word of God. Go back to giving. Go back to your commitment and dedication to Christ. Go back to your first love. Go back to the things that you used to do in the beginning. Siyakwazi wena, at first you used to come for prayer. Siyakwazi wena, you used to lift up your hands and worship God. We know you. You used to give. We know you. You used to be involved in everything that is happening in the church. Take back your edge. The best thing that God will do for you, it is to cause it to float on the surface, but he will not take it back and do give it for you. How many of us know that sometimes we expect God to do things that we are supposed to do? God is not going to pray for you. God is not going to worship for you. God is not going to give for you. You are the one who is supposed to take it back. Stretch forth your hand and take back the edge. The devil is trying to take it away from you. Take it back because it belongs to you. Take it back because you are going to need it for where you are going. Take it back, baby. Rise up today and decide. I'm going back to my prayer altar. I'm going back to that place of worship. I'm going back to that place of praise. I'm going back to that place of being on fire for God. I'm going back because I need my edge back. I need my axe back. I've got some trees to chop. I've got some bricks to cut. I've got some stones. I've got some bigger space to build in my life. I need my axe back. I need my edge back. I'm not expecting my friend to do it for me. I'm not expecting my pastor to do it for me. I'm not expecting the elders to do it for me. I'm not expecting my iConnect leader to do it for me. I was the one who was responsible for dropping the axe. And God is simply reminding me that lezi zinto ezenza izinto zenzeke empilweni yakho khona la zisuka khona. And you can't leave that place and expect that everything will go on as usual. Otherwise, we'll be like Samson thinking that lokakubulala amaFilisti bekuzenzakalela nje, forgetting that the Bible says when the Holy Spirit moved upon him, then he killed the Philistines. And one morning he thought izinto zizokwenzeka, even though he tempered with the covenant agreement that he had with God. And he wakes up and he thinks kusazokwenzeka ngendlela bekwenzeka ngayo. And there was no power, and there was no anointing, and there was no edge, and there was no favor. I said to you when I started, just because last year we tola a promotion without any sweat, it does not mean that after 3 years you are going to expect to get the same results while you are no longer praying the way that you used to, while you are no longer giving the way that you used to, while you are no longer committed the way that, and yet you are expecting those results of your first love. Come on. The grace of God carried you for the past 3 years. It's time to go back to the altar. It's time to go back to the word. It's time to go back to worship. It's time to go back to seek that anointing. It's time to go back to that place where you are going to say, God, without you, I am nothing. Without you, I am weak. Without you, I am defeated. It's time that we go back to that place. Going back to that heart of worship, knowing that, God, this is the place where I got all my anointing. This is the place where I got all my favor, all of the breakthroughs that I saw happening in your life. Let me tell you, all these things can be connected to what the Holy Spirit has taught you over the years. Nothing just happens. There are breakthroughs that are connected to your giving. There are protections that are connected to the anointing you carry. And all of those things come from that place of close fellowship with God. And if you have moved from there, let me tell you, your axe is becoming more and more dull day by day. And that's why some of us, sizizwa skathele. Because for the past few months, for the past few years, we've been applying our strength. See, fukuza.
kubhlungu bazalwane ukufukuza to get things in life ngokufukuza. Ukhona uJesu othozani kimi. Nina nikhathele nensindwayo. And I will give you rest. Because in him there is rest. When I am back to that place, I am in my place of rest. I work from that place of rest. I can do great and mighty exploits, and you can still see me fresh and still pressing on. Not because I'm a strong and mighty, and you can say, "How mfundisi is this and that," but it's simply because I'm working from rest. I'm leaning more on Jesus and his wisdom and his word and his anointing and his grace and his favor. And that's why it seems as if ilula lento. Kantayiko lula lento. It is not by power, it is not by might, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord. He says there's an anointing that I put upon your life. Once you get back to that place of your first love, do the things that used to build you. Do the things that used to shape you. Do the things that used to develop you. Lastly, spend more time with good friends. Because Proverbs 27 and verse number 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Mhlambe, I want you to send some few friends some SMS and just say to them, in 2020, I need more irons around my life. Because I need to be more sharp. I need to be more sharpened for where I am going. I'm not saying hate people, but if you are going to spend at least an hour with me, you better be an iron that is going to sharpen me. If I'm going to spend the whole day with you, you better be an iron that is going to sharpen me. Because I cannot afford to spend the whole day and feel drained after you have left. I cannot afford to spend the whole day and feel dull after you have left. I need some irons around my life. I need some people around my life who are going to share some wisdom from the scriptures whenever we are sitting down. Don't come and feed me jealousy. Don't come and feed me pride. Don't come and feed me anger. Don't come and feed me all of those things. But come and sharpen me more. Come and sharpen me more. Come, make me a better Christian. Make me a better servant of God. Make me a better preacher. Make me a better singer. Make me a better husband. Make me a better wife. If after I have spent time with you, I feel like cheating on my wife, you are not good for me in 2020. Because in 2020, baby, I need some edge around my life. I need some edge on my hands. I need some sharp edge. I need to chop down some trees that have been growing in my house, hindering my growth, hindering my development. I need an axe that I'm going to use, that I'm going to cut some stones so that I can build my life. I need to build my life once again. I need to focus on building my business, building my calling, building my career. I cannot afford to hang around people who are going to drain my anointing, who are going to drain my strength. That after I've spent so much hours on my knees praying and seeking the face of God, it will just take me to spend an hour with you to lose it all. Have you ever walked away from some meetings with friends and you feel grieved in your spirit? As if kukhona into wrong. Maybe it's time to tell your friends that, my friends, you either change the topics or you lose me.
Yes, sir.
Siza phone elana. Siza SMS elana. But it seems as if we poison. That's it dangerous kanjani inyoka. A snake bites you, leaves you with poison, and it walks away still alive. And you remain suffering because of the poison that it left in your system. And you die a slow death while that snake is just walking away freely to generate more venom for others who are going to fall prey. Lift up your hands and begin to pray. Lord, sharpen our axe. Restore our axe. Restore our edge.
in our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us by your Holy Spirit to remember where we have fallen, Lord.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much, and keep on building.